This is Billy Brillman, the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and we're talking to you this week about Paul's great revelation. What was his revelation? His revelation was the Church of the Living God. What it is, who it is. Not found in the Old Testament, not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but in the revelations of Paul. We went into detail yesterday about how after Paul was born again, we can prove from the book of Galatians that he did not learn this revelation that he received from any man. He said that in the first chapter, the 11th verse. And then he said that he was 14 years. He was 3 years. You go back to the book of Galatians. We don't want to cover what we did yesterday, but read Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you will find that we can prove that it was at least 17 years and probably more, like 20, before he ever went up to Peter, James, and John, the pillars in the church, and revealed to them the mystery of the church that God had given him. The mystery of the church that God had given him is recorded in his letters. And we're going to look just at two of his, the things he wrote about it. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That means mature. It's not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a minute, but I want you to notice particularly the word glory in both verses. The glory of God is the presence of God manifested. He says that this mystery is to lift the church into the glory of God. I like the Amplified. He said that wisdom, Amplified version of chapter 2 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians says, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us into the glory of his presence. God deigned and designed that there would be a group, the ecclesia, the called out assembly is what it means in the Greek. There would be a group that would be lifted back up into the presence of his glory. Now look here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. It's called the mystery of God. It's the mystery of the church. Even the mystery which hath been hid. See that word hidden, hidden, hidden? Which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches, and here is that word again, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I'm going to review just a little bit for you what I think it was been about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago now, that I read to you out of my book, The Blood and the Glory. And in that book, I explained how I was working for Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin received instruction from God to look up every scripture in the Bible on glory. An amazing thing happened to him. He said that the revelation of the Word of God, oh, how great it was when he saw. Even he, I think I termed this, because after the Lord told to him, it would be good for you, it would behoove you to look up every scripture in the Bible on glory. I was working for him and I thought, well, if it would do him good, it would do me good. Because when he preached on this subject, sometime during that service, there would come a manifestation, a rolling in of the glory of God, like a cloud, like a wave, like a pillar. And things would happen in the room. People would be swept under the power of God and swept into divine healing. It was so glorious that I decided myself that I needed to study the glory of God. And when I did, about the same time that I did, I was teaching a Sunday school class in Collinsville, Oklahoma, And we began looking at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation because we had so many people who had been swept in the charismatic move, and a lot of them didn't have a good Bible knowledge of the big picture of the Bible. The Bible's all one book from Genesis to Revelation. And so we decided to do that. And in doing it, I came to believe, and you don't have to believe this, but in doing it, I came to believe that between Genesis 1 and Genesis 1, 2, there is a great deal of time, however long true science requires. Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You can read that word was, became, and it was, and it became. That's used many, many times in the book of Genesis. It's translated that. And the earth was or became, and the Hebrew words are tohu va bohu. Tohu means formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, waste. Bohu means emptiness. Oftentimes the Bible in its original language rhymes for emphasis upon the words. And so it says, and the earth was or became tohu va bohu. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. These waters were dark. Whether or not you believe in a pre-Adamic civilization, I do. But if you don't, doesn't matter. It's not going to get you to heaven or keep you out of heaven. But it helps me understand how those waters became tohu va bohu. In my own mind, I can't see that God created them that way. They were not created tohu. He uses that word again in Isaiah 45 and verse 18. It says, he did not create the earth in vain. The word there is tohu. He created the earth to be inhabited. And I believe it was perfect. And it tells us in Deuteronomy 32, 4, God's work is perfect. In Psalm 111, 3, God's work is glorious. So in my own mind, and I first heard about this from Brother Hagin, it's in his book, The Triumphant Church, and we're making that book available to you. The Triumphant Church excuse me just a moment here. You got your Bible. I hope you've got some things marked that I want you to have marked, and I'm marking something. The Triumphant Church reads on page, Brother Hagin's book, page 2, Hints of a Possible Pre-Adamic Kingdom. The origin and fall of Satan, or Lucifer, as he was called, is made fairly clear in Scripture. I'm reading you Brother Hagin's words. He was called Lucifer before his expulsion and fall from heaven, but Satan after his expulsion and fall. The origin of demons, devils, or evil spirits is not made so clear, but some Bible scholars believe millions of years elapsed between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And some believe there could have been an original earthly kingdom before the creation recorded in Genesis chapter 1. Of course, I believe that it has been 6-day work week, 6,000 years since man as we know him, Adam, has been upon this earth. But I can see, and I wrote it in my book, to me, it's very plain that there could be what's called a gap theory, and it is a theory. We don't have it just in chapter and verse. Now, there was a pre-Adamic civilization. But however long science needs, I believe, can be put between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. It helped me to understand those dark waters upon the face of the deep. And I'm going to read you now from my book, page 29. Throughout the intervening span of time between the Bible's first and second verses, earth lay beneath dismal waters in dark, stark contrast to the glorious perfection of the rest of creation. Whether or not you believe in a pre-Adamic civilization, you have to know that those waters were dark. What did the angels think about the one dark spot in God's otherwise perfect order of things? Did they ignore it? Did they talk about it? I mention the angels because the Holy Spirit brought them to my attention as he taught me about the glory. He showed me they were watching when things began to change, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1:2. Did the angel spread the news? Did they say, something's going on here? The Holy Spirit is moving upon the dark spot. They heard God's words and watched their glorious fulfillment. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God was not commanding the sun and the moon to become. They didn't come forth until the fourth day. God was talking about the light of himself. In essence, this included God is returning himself, light and life, to earth. He removed his presence, and now he will work there again. The Lord said to me, when he was revealing to me about the glory, and I did receive a revelation from God about the glory, I heard his voice, and there came the sixth day, the most angel astonishing day of all. I heard his voice within my spirit when he spoke to me about the sixth day. To me it sounded like this: I did not do this in a corner. All were watching when I stepped to center stage and made a declaration which rocked all creation as it reverberated from the regions of glory to the regions of the damned. The words of Genesis 1:26 took on a new tone. My heart could hear it loud, deliberate words, in loud, deliberate words, as they may have been called out across the wide expanses of creation. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God, Lester Sumrall said, created man to dominate. And he also said, if you do not dominate, you will be dominated. We just had epic rains in Missouri, but I was preaching in Osage Beach on Sunday morning, and I looked out the window, and there was a flash of lightning, big one, and a big clap of thunder with no 1,000 in between. And we stopped and took authority, and they told to us that that storm cell that looked so bad just skirted us and went right around Osage Beach. I was out walking the other day, and I heard dogs coming far away. And they got closer, 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 and it was two big dogs, ferocious ones, barking at me. And I said, in Jesus' name, I take dominion over you. They were silenced in an instant. God made man to have dominion. He crowned him with glory. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. You can order the CDs and the DVDs from our The Book of Ephesians and the Glorious Church. The set is $125, CDs $65, DVDs $85. If you want the book of Brother Hagin's that I read from today, The Triumphant Church, you may have it for $10. My book, The Blood and the Glory, for $10. And we will send you absolutely free. You don't have to order anything. Kenneth E. Hagin's mini book, In Him. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. We're glad you're listening. We're glad you're with us. These weeks are going to be exciting. And this is Billy Brim saying until tomorrow, shalom, shalom.
Thank you for listening to today's radio broadcast, The Voice of One Witness, with Dr. Billy Brim. You may listen to these radio broadcasts, as well as Sister Billy's weekly webcast, Watching the Week in the Light of Bible Prophecy, on the World Wide Web at www.billybrim.org. For more information about Billy Brim Ministries, to see Sister Billy's meeting schedule, or order products by Sister Billy and many others, log on to our website at www.billybrim.org or call our ministry offices at 1-800-972-3447.